Thanks for listening to the Mornings with Carmen LaBurge podcast, made available thanks to support from listeners just like you.
Your daily encouragement that God has the world in the hollow of his hand. This is Mornings with Carmen LaBurge on Faith Radio. If we're gonna fly, we fly like eagles. Arms out wide. If we're gonna fear, we fear no evil. We will rise. By your power, we will go. By your spirit, we are bold. If we're gonna stand, we stand as giants. If we're gonna walk, we walk as lions.
Good. Right, we are going to address the State of the Union. President Joe Biden is going to deliver his third State of the Union address tonight. And so you and I are going to talk here for a moment about the state of our union with Christ. But before that happens, we have a bit of business to do as a community here of, I don't know what we're calling ourselves, you know, the Morning with Carmen crew, the gang, I don't know, the peeps. It's definitely peep season. The Carmenation, whatever. All right. One among us, Andrew, is having a birthday today. Today's Andrew's birthday. And I feel like we should all sing to Andrew. And so I need you to get, if you got a party hat nearby, maybe you've got a kazoo you could blow. You got your happy birthday. You got a little happy birthday jam on. It doesn't matter who's around. I don't care. It doesn't matter if you're all by yourself. Together, we're all going to sing happy birthday to Andrew. All right. So Andrew, listen up. On the count of three, everybody. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Andrew. Happy birthday to you. Or in my more preferred version, this is your birthday song. It isn't very long. Hey, there you go. Andrew, happy birthday, man. Kim says, I just sent him a happy birthday text 4 minutes ago. Yeah, that's how the community works out here. So thank you so much for loving each other. And for loving each other so well in the Lord. I just so appreciate that. Oh, look, and now Paul is playing along with some happy birthday music. You know, while we're talking about birthdays, I do think I should say, although our birthdays matter, they're super duper important. Our rebirthdays, the day we were reborn to a living hope in Jesus Christ, actually matter more. So your birthday matters, and happy birthday, Andrew, not in any way diminishing that, but your rebirth day, the day in which you were reborn to a living hope in Jesus Christ as a new creation, that's actually a more profound day to mark in our lives and in our life together. Okay, the State of the Union. President Joe Biden is going to plans to deliver his third State of the Union address tonight to a joint session of Congress, and a bunch of other people will be there as well. My guess is he is going to address what's happening at the southern border, the U.S. ongoing role in the war in Ukraine brought on by Russia, and the war in Gaza brought on by Hamas. My guess is he's also going to address delays in the passage of a comprehensive federal budget. And, you know, those are some of the things that I would expect. My guess is he's going to, you know, as presidents do, toot his own horn and tout the accomplishments of his administration. So those are things that I think are going to happen tonight. And so it got me thinking about just the concept of a State of the Union. Oh, where can you get a rebirthday card? Jessica Lally asks on the text line. You can get a rebirthday card at CarmenLaBurge.com. Yep. Scroll down to the bottom. There's a little shop. And in the shop, I have rebirthday cards. I know, because I think rebirthdays are important and nobody's celebrating them. So, yes, you can go to CarmenLaBurge.com and get a rebirthday card. Yeah. Thanks for asking. Okay. The theme of my State of the Union address, first of all, if I were delivering a State of the Union address, it would be very brief. And like, every other day, I would probably be delivering it in my pajamas and my robe with my fuzzy slippers, because this is sort of my comfort zone for speaking. So there you go. Here is my State of the Union with Christ address. The theme would be Jesus. Jesus changes everything. That would be the theme of my State of the Union address with Christ. So Jesus changes everything, and God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That would be the theme of my message. Jesus changes everything. And God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. The primary points of my State of the Union address, I would want to look back at the great awakenings of the past, those moments in time when the people of God woke up to the reality of God. And I would want to point out how Jesus changes everything. I would want to look around right now for the need for a great awakening today, because the darkness is dark and the light has come. I would want to look up to the promises of God. I would want to look inward for the faith necessary to stand. I'd want to look around for partners in prayer and action. Where are our Christian brothers and sisters with whom we can link arms and walk forward together, each one yoked to Christ and therefore yoked to one another? I'd want to look ahead to the future filled with hope that God has planned, anticipating miracles, knowing that with God all things are possible. So my State of the Union in Christ message would be looking back, looking around, looking up, looking in, looking around, looking ahead. And then I would cast a State of the Union vision for the year ahead, or for the world ahead, or for life ahead. And I would say, we are the people of a great Christ. And we are the people of Christ's great love. We are the people of Christ's great commission. We are the people of Christ's great commandment. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. The state of our union in Christ is unassailable, and so is our joy. Yes, challenges come and nations rise and fall, but the Word of God in the person of Christ stands forever. Amen? Amen. Check in on the state of your union with Christ today, not only as an individual, but in union with the people of Christ. You and I are citizens of another kingdom, and we get to serve as ambassadors of that king and that kingdom in the midst of the kingdoms of this world. And many of us live right now in the midst of a kingdom called the United States of America, and the state of her union is pretty fractious. I mean, a people who stand and pledge their allegiance to a flag as one nation under God, indivisible, many days don't look like one nation under God, indivisible. But in Christ, we are a people. Globally, universally, eternally. Let's be those kind of kingdom people today, and let's be declaring with our lives the reality of the state of our union with Christ. Because in that, we are one people, indivisible, forever and ever. Amen? Speaking of the state of things, how are you today? I want to know. Let's try this. Finish this sentence. I feel alone today in my... Go ahead, fill in the blank. I feel alone today in my... Would you text me your answer to that question? How you fill in that blank? 877-933-2484. I feel alone today in my... Text me your answer. 877-933-2484. We'll address some of that next. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. Our friend Vinitha Reisner is joining us this morning. She is the author of Walking Through the Fire and the creator of Helping the Hurting. You can connect with her at Vinitha.com. Vinitha, I have asked folks to text in their sort of fill in the blank answer to the question. I feel alone today in my... Gary is feeling alone today in his work. We've got a friend feeling alone today as they head to the doctor for a diagnosis. Another friend who says, I feel alone today in my depression. Beverly says, I feel alone in my finances. Leslie, who lives in Austria, says, I feel alone today in the unique path God has called me to. Mary says, I feel alone today in my single parenting. So I just thought we would get a sense of, you know, where people are today as you and I enter into a conversation about trusting God in our weakness. So good morning, Vinitha.
Good morning, Carmen.
Yeah. So that's, now that you know, some of the others who are in the conversation with us this morning, talk with us a little bit about trusting God in our weakness. Just enter in.
Yeah. Well, I can relate to so many of these things, depression, finances, single parenting, because we really do feel alone in a lot of those things. The amazing thing is that God is with us, but often people aren't with us. And so that really creates this sense of, does anybody care about this? And sometimes there are things we can't share. And so those have been struggles that I've had, times when I have just felt very much like, does anybody care about this? And those are the times that I have grown closest to God, though, when I look back and I realize, like, sometimes marriage struggles, a lot of those things, we feel so alone because we're not going to put them on the prayer chain. You know, it's not like all these people are with us in them. And a friend of mine calls those the griefs that don't wear black, the things that nobody's going to bring you a meal for. They're not going to be on the prayer chain. And yet those are often the deepest, most alone feelings, you know, infertility, all of these things that maybe people know about, but they're not the big things. And yet because of that, I think they're the most lonely things. And for me, there's two things that I would encourage people to do. One is to maybe entrust this suffering, whatever it is, with work, with single parenting, with one or two friends, to say, hey, would you pray with me? Would you pray for me in this? And there were times when I really didn't want to bring people in, but I did. And just knowing somebody was praying, it didn't require a lot on their part, but just to pray and to check in and to text and say, hey, I'm praying for you. There's something incredible about that. I had one friend after my husband left who would text me in the morning stuff like, you know, I just prayed for you on my face. That's all she would text. And that was incredible, but it involved letting people know what was happening. And the other thing, Carmen, is just leaning into Jesus, because sometimes there are things we can't share or we don't have people to share them with. I mean, a lot of us, you know, live lives where we don't have that many close friends. And that is a time when God can feel so real if we're willing to lament and just go to God and pour out our struggles. And just trusting God in our weakness and saying, okay, God, you are going to help me make this. You are the one that is going to sustain me. You know, for the person who said, you know, I feel alone today in my work, you know, you're going to give me what I need to make it through this work day and to do what I need to do. Because sometimes the tasks in front of us are much greater than we think we can handle. And I mean, I'm guessing in all of these things with depression and finances and single parenting, and recognizing maybe God is just calling us to bring him our five loaves and two fish, which, you know, in that story in the feeding of the 5,000, that's like a small boy's lunch. And there are 5,000 people to feed. And we feel like we are bringing nothing. And really, that is nothing compared to how many people there are. So just our little shred of, I'm just giving you my day, Lord, sometimes can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And I have found that just, you know, in single parenting, when I thought two adolescent angry teenagers, I cannot do this on my own, and just brought that to the Lord. And I'm amazed at what God could do through me, not my own wisdom or my own strength. So that's what I would offer to
some
of these friends.
That's so good. We're going to continue our conversation with Vinitha Reisner here in just a moment. Thank you for those of you continuing to text in. Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening. How do you fill in this blank? I feel alone today in my. Yeah. I some of these I'm hesitant to read out loud because I know how deeply personal they are, and so I see you. Thank you for the person who says, I feel alone in my infertility. I feel alone in my marriage. I feel alone in almost everything, Myra says. So let's continue to tend to one another and the concerns of one another. As you recognize what your brothers and sisters in Christ are feeling alone in today, could you gently lift them up in prayer? Could you watch for them today and maybe even seek them out? We're going to talk about the power of small acts next with Venita Reisner. Like, how do we not only lean in when we need to rely on God's provision, but how do we become the people into whom others can lean? That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen.
Do you want to transform your life? Then read the Bible. Hi, I'm Angela, host of Reading the Bible Together. And maybe you're thinking, that's great, but where do I start? We have great study guides and podcasts on a bunch of different studies from Reading the Bible Together. You can find all the information, get the free study guide, listen to the free podcast, find it all at myfaithradio.com. Just look for Reading the Bible Together resource page.
Our friend Venita Reisner is here with us. We're talking about trusting God in the midst of our weakness. We're talking about relying on God's provision and trusting God to be God in the midst of all of it. Venita, let's talk about what we can do, what it means to just do the next thing, and then let's also talk about the power of small acts.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because what we can do, the biggest thing we can do is pray. And, mm-hmm. you know, as I was praying about this this morning, I realized, you know, I'm not a great prayer. You know, I want to be, but I think I forget this is what is changing the world. And we often feel like, oh, I can't take a meal. I can't do anything. So what can I do? I'm not doing anything. But prayer really is the greatest gift that we can give people. And so I think one of the things that we need to remember is to actually pray for our friends who are suffering, for our friends who feel alone in their, just in their lives, in infertility and marriages and all of those things. But also those people who texted in and feel alone often, and I say this because this is how I was, I felt like I need other people to be praying for me. And I forgot they all have their own stuff. Like I feel like I didn't recognize that other people felt the same way. Like other people were feeling alone. And so I found that one thing that really energized my own prayer life was praying for other people, even when I felt so weak and so much like I have nothing to give. I know my friends are struggling, but I'm struggling too. And just sharing what God had given me. Like I remember several times just reading something in scripture and thinking, this is for me. This is how God is meeting me today. And then realizing, wow, I can share this with someone who's struggling. Like I don't have much to give them, but I can give them this verse and taking a picture of it and sending it to them and recognizing that is one way God meets us and multiplies what he is giving us to feed 5,000 people when we have really nothing we feel like we can give. So that's one thing I would say, even if you feel so down, so alone, that's a way to connect with somebody else and help them know that they're not alone. And I think there's a shared camaraderie immediately when you do that. And so you feel less alone, letting somebody else know they're not alone.
Hey, if you haven't texted the word lonely yet to 877-933-2484, we have a series of audio messages that we would like to offer you over the course of time. It's me. They're me. So, you know, you got to know it's going to be me joining you on your phone via an audio text. And so if you're interested in that, just text the word lonely, nothing else in the text, just the word lonely. And lonely is spelled L-O-N-E-L-Y. And I say that because people have texted in all kinds of things and I've found it a little mysterious. I'm like, is lonely that hard to spell? So lonely, just text the word lonely to 877-933-2484 and we'll get those text messages started to you. They'll come to you over the course of a month. And hopefully you will grow in your understanding of who God is and his power and his presence with you always. Even in those times when you are alone. Vanitha, the power of small acts. 1 Peter 4:10-11. I'm reading this from your post. So, just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus in everything. It's not in our own strength. It's not in our own power. It's not even out of our own gifts. It's totally out of God's supply. Maybe just talk about the power of these small acts.
Yeah, I think recognizing that God is the one who really works through us. And so these small things that we do, God multiplies, as I mentioned before, like we bring our 5 loaves and 2 fish, which I would almost be embarrassed to have brought that to Jesus. Like, it's nothing really, but it's all that they had. And when we just bring, say to the Lord in the morning, I don't even have 5 minutes, but show me I'm willing to do what you call me to do here. It's amazing how our 1 minute God can use in somebody's life, whether it's just sending a text. That's often something we can do in a minute. And I've had a text come in at the right time that has really impacted me. And I've texted people just like, okay, I'm just going to say, I'm praying that God would give you the strength to do whatever you need to do today. And just recognize, wow, the Holy Spirit is the one that prompted me to do that. So I can do that. Whereas, Carmen, often we feel like, okay, we can't meet a huge need. We don't have even 30 minutes to talk on the phone with somebody. We don't have enough time or enough strength, or we can't get out of bed. So should we even try to serve anyone? And that's the biggest struggle, I think, in suffering is we think, we don't have anything to give ourselves. How are we going to serve other people? And so we pull inward. And I think God says, no, you just give that tiny little thing and it's going to multiply. And just trust God. And in that post, actually, I have this quote from Charles Spurgeon who says, the way to do a great deal is to keep doing a little. The way to do nothing is to continually resolve that we will do everything. And that's what we do. If we feel like, wow, we've got to meet this huge need and we're going to do it, we put it off. But if we think, okay, God is calling us to small, that we would not despise the day of small things, that we would do the very small thing. And sometimes God does call us to do bigger things, but I think leaning into God and saying, I'm just giving you what I have, can really meet people's needs. And, the friends that really did small things, but just kept doing them, things that maybe took a few minutes. I felt so loved and cared for by them. And so I'm thinking if people who texted and said they feel alone today, they could reach out to somebody. And if you know somebody feels alone or is struggling with infertility or any of those things, to just text them and say, hey, I see you. I am praying for you. And just giving us the extra thing is what you're praying, because it's really wonderful if someone says, I'm praying for you, but you don't really know what they're praying. Whereas if they take the time to say, I'm praying that God would give you the strength today in your job, or I'm praying that God would help you in your disappointment, and maybe put a scripture in there, like I'm putting your name into this scripture. There's a real power in that we overlook, but when we receive those texts, I think we really sense the power that we have in using God's word, as well as the specificity that we can offer people.
So good. Vanitha, as always, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, I always love being here.
Is there a specific way we could pray for you?
That's a great question, Carmen. Pray that God would just be clear to me just what the next thing is for me to be doing, just lots of projects in front of me.
Okay, let's do that.
Really wanting God's wisdom and grace to flow through them, because I can write in my own strength and it will feed no one. So I need to write in the strength of God. Mm.
Father, we come before you as sisters and brothers in Christ, lifting up Vanitha. We thank you for all the ways you have poured into our lives and ministered to us through her along the way. We thank you for the conversation this morning and for the way that she has bathed us with your wisdom and invited us into your gracious presence that you might tend to us in our deepest needs. We thank you for the reminders this morning of your presence and your power and your provision and one another and the gift it is to pray for each other. And so we lift up Vanitha and the projects that you have set before her. We ask that you would pour forth your wisdom so that she would know which project should be tended to first and then precisely how you want that to unfold in faithfulness and godliness and righteousness and goodness. We thank you for her in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, my sister.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. As you are, as you're listening and you're thinking about the things we've been talking about today, all the way from like covetousness and dealing with the fact that, the things of this world are fading away and there are eternal things and we need to be storing those up in heaven. And as we have thought about culture engagement, and then here, you just thought about just the reality of the places in our lives where we do feel lonely, where we experience loneliness, and how God is meeting us in those places. Let me ask this question. What's your sweet spot? What's your sweet spot? Now there's going to be a little turn of phrase here. So what's your sugar rush? What do you seek? Where do you go to find maybe like sweet release? Yeah. How is that sugar-coated craving really serving you? Angie Haskell is going to join us next. She's been thinking about our sweet spot, the places we go for the sugar rush or the sweet release, and how those cravings are really not serving us very well. So she's going to join us next to help us find actually sweet release from the cravings that control us. That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. All right, what is your, it's even hard to ask this way. Like, what is your sweet satisfaction? Where do you turn to find, quote-unquote, sweet release? Maybe it's a comfort food. Like, you know, when we're not honestly craving the Word of God, right, and His righteousness, what are we craving? What are we hungering and thirsting for? Angie Haskell is joining us. We're talking about sugar-coated, finding sweet release from cravings that control us. Is Angie here? Okay. I didn't know. It needed a little dance for just a moment longer. All right. So Angie Haskell has been doing some research on the ways in which we turn to the things we crave in this world. It could be, you know, maybe for you, it's candy. Maybe it's like a genuine sugar rush. Maybe it's a glass of wine or an alcoholic beverage. Maybe it is flirting with something beyond the marriage relationship that God has, that God has ordained. Maybe it's mindlessly scrolling through social media. Like maybe that's your quote unquote sugar rush. Maybe it's binge watching something. For an astounding percentage of middle-aged women, even those who confess Christ, it's pornography. Yeah, I was really surprised by that in reading Sugar Coated, this book that Angie is bringing us today. There are any number of unhealthy practices and habits that suck Christian women into a sea of shame and depression. It doesn't have to be this way. And so we want to help identify why we are constantly spiraling in these directions, how to actually stop and turn around and identify those weak spots. And then, purge the negative habits that are robbing us of feeling genuinely worthy. I mean, you live there. I live there. We know what this is. We know what it feels like. And so Angie Haskell is joining us now. The book is Sugar Coated. Angie, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Good morning, Carmen. How are you?
Well, I'm well. Thank you. I suppose like every other person, I certainly deal with the challenges that you're addressing in the book. So let's start where you actually start Sugar Coated. Quote, in one way or another, we pay the price for giving in to our cravings. What are those? And maybe when did you come to that realization?
You know, I came to the realization many years ago when I realized that shopping was a problem for me. And I'd hate to not have had that wrestled to the ground now, because on Amazon or on, you know, any website we can get on, you can actually store your credit cards on there and you could really be in a mess. But, you know, besides the shopping issue I had, sure, it's easy to get on social media. It's very much like what you just said. But one of the wake-up calls I had was, I'm also a Christian children's author. And so I was on a school book tour, and I was talking to mothers after the, you know, in the evening at dinner one night, I was at an event. And it's really easy for me to strike up conversations, and we were talking about motherhood, being a wife, and so forth. And I really found that so many of them were struggling, or they didn't feel their needs were being met, and they were going in really crazy ways to just feel love, to feel acceptance. And I told them, I said, you know, I may write a book about this someday. And when I said that, they literally looked at me and grabbed my hand and said, Angie, you got to write this. You got to write this book. And when I saw their faces, I thought, this is a really serious issue. And I started doing more and more research, and it was startling. And so for years, I've been working on this book. And sadly, the percentages of struggles that Christians have, that non-Christians have, they're very similar. And so I thought, we've got to really talk about this. We can't sweep it under the rug and act like these things don't happen. And we can't point fingers at everyone else without looking at ourselves first.
So help us do that. Like, help us sort of see ourselves in the midst of this. You can do the statistics, which I found pretty startling. Mm-hmm. You could introduce us to some of the women who you met while doing your research, like whatever direction you want to go, but sort of like help us see ourselves and get a sense of what these things are that we're craving that are ultimately not good for us.
Well, you know, one thing that really got this book started, and then I can dive into what those are, is, you know, this was not an easy book to write. But in the last few years, we've become so divisive in this country. And when you talk about issues that we've had since the beginning of time, affairs, you know, we talked about pornography, but affairs and being nosy, speaking out when we should not because we so crave love that we try to get involved in even relationships with our adult children that we shouldn't have. But in this country, right now, we've become more loud than loving. Mm. And I'm going to repeat that because I think it's so important. We have become more loud than we are loving because of social media, because of all these factors where we feel like if we have an opinion, we have to share it with everyone. We're shaming people into such high rates of depression and anxiety. When we have close relationships, and I really encourage both men and women, we need I call it a sister circle. We need a circle of friends that share the same value systems that we do. And when we see that perhaps they're breaking commandments of the Bible, we know affairs are wrong. We know pornography is wrong. The Holy Spirit tells us that. We can feel when we're going against God's wishes. We need a circle of friends that we can either go to Or maybe we are comfortable with knowing they could come to us and say, you know what, Carmen, I know you're struggling with some things. And you know that it's not right, but I want you to know I love you and I want to help you. That's what we need to do. We need to have conversations. I spoke with women. One woman was so wrapped up in vanity. She had had every procedure, I think, known to man done on her face to the point she didn't look normal. But what had happened, she had judged herself so harshly because she had been so insecure as a young girl. That also had trickled down, and this is something I hope parents are hearing. It had trickled down to her daughter, who wanted breast implants when she was 16. And it's like she told me, she said, Angie, I didn't realize there was a problem till it trickled down to my children. Hmm. And I heard that over and over. I interviewed hundreds and hundreds of women. And, you know, one woman said, or not just one, many, I didn't realize I had a problem with alcohol until I had to pick up my daughter in jail for drunk driving.
Mm.
And, you know, these traits are definitely can be passed down to our children. And, you know, one thing it's important, the reason this book's called Sugarcoated is because cravings and addictions present themselves very much like sugar. We feel the same way when we eat a donut. We have this dopamine that is released in our brain, that feel-good neurotransmitter. And then we feel this rush. Well, our brains, when it comes to, let's say, shopping or having the wrong conversation on Facebook Messenger, that dopamine is released in our brain just like a donut. Our brain doesn't know the difference. It just knows, wow, that feels good. Even if it's just for a few minutes, I'm going to do that because I know how it makes me feel. Of course, we forget about the end result, you know, mm-hmm. having your heart broken, feeling shame, knowing you've hurt a family, knowing you've interrupted your own loving relationship with your spouse because you were watching pornography. We don't think about those things when that dopamine rush comes. And then when you combine that physical sensation with the enemy knowing he's hurting us spiritually, that's a very dangerous combination. And so all those factors are discussed in the book. The first half of Sugarcoated talks about very common ways that men and women go off the rails. The second half of the book is how to get healthy.
So let's take a very brief break. And then when we come back, let's talk about the second half, because I think that, you know, we want to set people up for success, and we, you know, certainly we want to recognize and like genuinely acknowledge the ways that we are unhealthily satisfying that sweet tooth, right? Like getting a grip on that. And that is what you spend the first half of the book on. But I would love to talk about the development of a healthy appetite, which is where you turn. So that's where we're going to turn in our conversation next with Angie Haskell. The book is Sugarcoated: Finding Sweet Release from Cravings That Control Us. You can connect directly with Angie at angiehaskell.com. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen, and we'll be right back. As we consider the life of Jesus and the life of the first generation of Christians, reading here the book of Acts and all the letters to the Christians in the New Testament, we see people who like wake up. They come to see and understand and then receive Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And it changes everything. We see Christians then telling other people about the good news and inviting them to respond in repentance, be baptized, and follow Jesus. The movement of Christianity grows person by person and then exponentially as people walking in darkness receive the light of Christ and want others to know what they know and have what they have. Well, you and I are living in dark days. People need light. And Jesus is the light of the world today in the same way that he was the light of the world at the beginning of creation and at the first Christmas and throughout his life on earth and in his radiance now at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is the light of the world. So if you're walking in darkness of any kind today, I invite you to consider Jesus. If you'd like to know more about what it means to begin a relationship with Christ or to chat with someone about it, just text the word faith to 41224. Angie Haskell doesn't like going to the dentist. Neither do I. We're going to talk about deep cleaning and the need for it in our lives as sugar addicts, where we are trying to satisfy ourselves with all kinds of things that ultimately do not fulfill us. The book is Sugar Coated, Finding Sweet Release from Cravings That Control Us. I am in chapter 11. Angie, and so why don't you like going to the dentist?
Well, you know, when I talk about it in the book, it's definitely an analogy. But my daughter is actually a dentist, and so when she told me she wanted to become one, I thought, that's the worst job in the world. Why in the world would you want to do that? But you know, in the book Sugar Coated, it has nothing to do with food. Especially the chapter that you're referring to. And so when we talk about a good cleaning, it's mm-hmm. to compare the cleaning our souls need. And when we reach for things we shouldn't, whether it's physically, mentally, whether it's, you know, feeling so bad about ourselves that we become anorexic or wanting love so much that we are in relationships that we know are dangerous, the way to get away from that is to go before the Lord, ask for forgiveness, but then you just can't say, okay, I'm called, I won't do that again. You have to really have a wake-up call in how to get healthy, and that's with prayer. That may include going to see a therapist, which there's nothing wrong with that, or talking to your pastor. The thing is acknowledging it, not just saying it's not happening and denying it. It's really getting down and having a good cleaning.
Yeah, I appreciate the acknowledgement here that it's hard, though. Like, it's hard to do the next right thing. It's hard to make the call to the therapist. Or it's, you know, it shouldn't be hard for us to go before the Lord and stand there naked and unashamed, and yet it is, to say to God, I really need your help. Like, I really desperately need your help with this. Because we imagine that we are Christian women who are mature and we have more control than that, but we're totally out of control in these areas of our lives.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, one of the things that I talk about is this whole shame factor. Is mm-hmm. so many times as Christians, we don't feel like we deserve then a relationship with God again, because we've committed things that we shouldn't have done. We've got to get away from that. And we got to remember Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We've got to get a hold of that, remember that, and then make the choice to get healthy. So again, I'm not sugarcoating it. The book is very raw and real, but it needs to be written. It needs to be said, because people aren't having those conversations. And until we do, shame is going to get worse, and social media does not treat that kindly. We know people are addicted to that. We've got to get healthy. And it's one step at a time, one prayer at a time, one appointment at a time, and really facing this. And that's why it was written, that's why it's become so popular, is because women want to get healthy, and it's time we do this.
Yeah, we want to change for sure. I really appreciated how you offered Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 as a verse that we could really live into. Can you talk about the transformative power of this one verse?
Well, I just think it's so important that we think that we remember that Christ can transform us. He can lift us up. He can give us the strength that we need. He wants us to have joy. Christ wants us to have a fulfilling relationship. And we have to remember that every time we realize, wow, that was a really dumb move I made. God, please sustain me. And there's so many verses in the Bible that talk about that. That's why the book has so many stories of people who did struggle. that God knew we'd need those stories, that we'd need those verses. And, you know, the woman who reached for Jesus's garment, it's so important that we know we can still do that. We can reach for him spiritually and know that he is right there. So I encourage all women to read this book, to also look in the mirror, not point a finger at other people, look at themselves and say, these are some steps I'm going to make. Maybe it's a conversation with your husband to talk about what you really need and own it and be prepared to actually listen to save that relationship. Have them with your adult children if they're still living in the basement or living with you because they're manipulating maybe your own finances. Have some real conversations because it's time to get healthy now more than ever.
I'm going to, in the closing of our conversation, I'm going to read one of the prayers that you offer in the chapter on patching up weak spots. There's so many here that we could read and address. It's one of the beautiful things that I think Angie offers. So I'm just going to read the one today on vanity. Heavenly Father, thank you for breathing life into me. But in today's culture, I'm overwhelmed with pressures to look a certain way, dress a certain way, own certain things. Help me, Jesus. Help me realize that focusing on such things only leads to a feeling of inadequacy. I know you love me exactly as you created me. Give me strength to resist changing my facial appearance to the extreme. Remind me not to compare myself to others. Help me to see you as the model I should focus on. And thank you for loving me just as I am. Amen. Angie, thank you for the gift of the conversation today. Thank you for the book, Sugar Coated. You guys can connect directly with Angie at AngieHaskell.com. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. What are you dealing with out there on this front? And we're not going to sugarcoat our conversations with each other. That's one of the things I just really appreciate about Angie's approach. She is totally straightforward. She acknowledges that we have needs. She acknowledges that we have turned to false idols to fulfill those needs. Maybe you need some help and some encouragement today, turning away from that's, you know, become your sweet spot, the one that never satisfies, right? It's that super sugary candy that does not actually offer any sort of value. How could you turn today to the living water and the bread of life? How could you turn today to hungering and thirsting for righteousness? How could you turn today to a conversation with a Christian brother or sister and say, hey, I need some help with this. Like, I know this is a problem in my life. Would you pray with me about this? Would you be my accountability partner? And maybe you do need to find somebody that you can talk with in terms of like a Christian therapist, a Christian counselor. Today's a good day to start on the path to spiritual health. And I'm just going to encourage you to do that. All right, we're out of time today. Hey, visit us at myfaithradio.com. We've got a ton of great resources posted for you. We don't want you to miss out on any of that. Visit me at my website, carmenleburge.com, as well. If you want a re-birthday card, you know, scroll down there to the bottom and get one of them. I love you, and thank you so much for spending this time with me today. It's such a gift. Your time is a great gift, and so thank you for sharing it. Have a great day, and God bless. Thanks for listening to Mornings with Carmen LeBurge. Podcasts like this are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes to give now. And thanks.